Before we discuss the metaphorical meaning of Satan as an option for Jesus, I want to present to you another metaphor, a modern metaphor, that gets at some of the same issues and questions in a slightly different way. I want you to imagine this morning that our entire sanctuary is one giant highway. And so on my right, we've got cars that are going 65 miles per hour that way. And then on my left, we've got cars going 65 miles an hour this way. And right here, the center aisle, is our yellow dividing line. Now let's assume that people, the drivers on both sides, are pretty much the same. Right? They're people who are decent human beings. They've got family, friends, children, parents, grandparents that they love. The main difference between the two sides is really that they're just headed in different directions. Now, we can say that our country right now, in certain respects, is a lot like this highway. We've got people that are headed on certain issues in completely opposite directions. Now, I know a couple of weeks ago I said that in our country there's a lot of common ground for people on certain issues. That's true, but on certain issues, other issues, we're divided. We're headed in different directions. And the most recent example of that is the conflicts involving unions in the states of the Midwest. So what does our church do? And that's an example of in which you've got two sides of the highway headed in completely different directions, and there's no desire on either side to do a U-turn and head the other way. They know where they're going, and they're not changing course. So what does our church do? When our bus pulls up to this highway, do we decide that we're going to somehow try to avoid getting on the highway? Are we going to maintain a polite silence from a distance? Or would that mean that our bus is going to get left in the dust tracks of history? That will be ineffectual and irrelevant as we watch time pass us by. Well, we could decide that we're going to get on this highway. Now, some people might worry, well, does that mean that all of us have to become either Republicans or Democrats if we're going to get on this highway? Because, you know, I said there's a right and a left side of the highway. Well, I want to suggest to you that what defines what direction you go on the highway isn't one's party identification. And I want to further suggest that one's party identification isn't always very helpful in dealing with these issues. This past week, I was listening to a news segment on the politics of climate change. And there was a time in this country when the majority of people, didn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat, believed in climate change. Right? It was whether or not one believed in climate change was disconnected from whether one was a Republican or a Democrat. But today, things have evolved, and now it's an identity issue. It's like abortion. It's like gun control. The battle lines are drawn based on one's political identification, and rational dialogue about the science of climate change has become that much more difficult. So if we weren't to get all caught up in our political identification, our party identification, and if we were to remember that people on both sides of the highway are essentially basic, decent human beings, well, then that might help us to keep a cool head and not get involved in road rage. So if we get on the highway and we decide that we're not going to get on the highway based on our party identification, but let's say we get on the highway based on our values, well, then what might we do? Recently on talk shows, there's been talk radio, a lot of comments made about driving down the middle of the highway. We've all heard of centrist politicians who, in order to please certain voters or certain money interests, swing their car towards the yellow line. Now, the rest of us, we're not politicians, and also, that doesn't seem like that's rooted in moral values to do that. But there might be other reasons for why we'd want to drive down the middle of the road. After all, aren't we all Christians? And as Christians, aren't we supposed to love everybody? And aren't we supposed to try to get along with everybody? And so therefore, shouldn't we just try to drive down the center of the road to get along with everybody? But does love necessarily entail that we have to do it that way? It's been said that justice is the expression of love in public. And justice requires that one take a side. And can't one take a side while still affirming the basic humanity of those on the other side? There are other reasons for why one might not want to drive down the middle of the highway. The Texas radio personality Jim Hightower says the only thing one finds in the middle of the road is a dead armadillo. We drive down the middle of the road, we might just be asking for a car wreck. The Princeton philosopher Cornel West, on his radio show recently, he talked about this metaphor of the highway. And he didn't talk about it in terms of political parties. He talked about it in another way. What he said is that on one side of the highway, you've got those who defend the highly privileged and the powerful. And on the other side of the highway, you've got those who defend justice for poor and working people. And what West says is that this is a very real dividing line in our country. And if you're not, you know, for West, you can also listen to Milton Friedman, who's deceased now, but he said the greatest problem in our country is the class divide between the haves and the have-nots. And we've got Warren Buffett, who said that there's a class warfare in our country and that his class is winning. So it's a real dividing line. And what West says is that at some point you have to answer the question, which side are you on? You can't say, I'm a little for the privileged and I'm a little for the poor. I'm a little for the working class and I'm a little for Wall Street. That doesn't work. What West ultimately suggests is that one's values be one's guide, that one's compass be one's concern for the plight of the poor, one's concern for the struggles of working people, one's concern for the abuse of power, one's concern for inequality. Let one's values direct how one drives and where one drives. Now, in our scripture for today, Jesus is faced with the choice of what side he's going to be on. Is he going to be on God's side or the devil's side? Now, it seems a bit ridiculous to say that one's going to drive down the middle on that one. Be a little for the devil and a little for God. It actually doesn't even seem like that interesting of a choice, like who's going to be for the devil. But the choice actually reflected very real political, economic, and spiritual circumstances of the time. If we look at the scripture in metaphorical terms rather than in literal terms, then we can see the devil is representing all of the evil and suffering inflicted upon Jewish peasants in Palestine. In fact, when you look at the original Greek, when the devil tempts Jesus with ruling all of the kingdoms of the world, he's offering Jesus the Roman Empire. If we look at all three temptations, they arguably all represent the three most significant forms of power and control during the time of Jesus. There's power and control over the government, represented by the kingdoms of the world. There's power and control over religion, represented by the spectacular feat proposed from the pinnacle of the temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. And then third and finally, there's power and control over food, represented by the proposed turning of stone into bread. And so Jesus is essentially given the option of ruling over society from above or serving society from below, of submitting to the devil or joining with God. Now, there's one other aspect to the interpretation of our scripture for this morning that comes right at the final verse of our scripture. After Jesus has told the devil to take a hike, and after Jesus has said that he will serve only God, it reads that the angels came and waited on Jesus. So who or what do the angels represent? Perhaps the angels are those moments of unexpected grace in our lives. This past week, I was caught up in the world of busyness and hecticness, but then on Ash Wednesday, I came here, and I saw all of the artwork of the children and adults along this wall. I heard Kit playing his harp. And then the next day, I saw Ollie Stevens dressed in a new outfit as she celebrated her birthday, enjoying a birthday cake made with cornbread. And then I was able to get a sneak preview of the video and the PowerPoint presentation that will be seen later today. And I saw all of the vibrancy and the happiness of the people of this church. And suddenly I realized that I was surrounded by angels. Suddenly I realized that I was refreshed and renewed by the grace all around me. Amen.